Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How you doing?
I am great. How are you?
Fantastic.
Great.
Aren't we a team? Aren't we a team?
Yes. Practice team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I have an announcement here.
Okay.
There are only a couple days left to sign up for a new email class with you, Sherry. It's called Mirroring Me Through the Enneagram, and it begins this Friday, October 17th. The class is designed to clarify the distinction between personality and authenticity, and it includes 4 Sunday workshops. The registration closes at noon Pacific time this Thursday, October 16th.
All right.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, me too, very much. And for these and other practice opportunities, please visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders for tonight, if you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry, and I would encourage you to do so, please press *6 and then 1 to make a show. And a conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is great.
It's perfection.
Perfection. And I think we're ready here.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Nancy from Georgia.
Hey, Nancy.
Hi, Sherry.
How you doing?
I'm doing great. I am so happy to see all the wonderful changes, the transformation as a result of being at the retreat. And it was kind of funny because I guess 2 weeks ago I got on the call right at the very end to get in the queue because I was struggling with everything that was so making it so difficult to feel like I could leave and go to the retreat. And I mean, I feel like ego threw everything at me. That, you know, I'd make plans and then they'd fall through. And this is because I'm the main caregiver for my sister. And, you know, she'd get a new diagnosis or she'd lose her transportation to her medical appointments. I mean, all this was happening. And as soon as I got in the queue to talk about it, I just was like, oh, okay, I see what this is. But through it all, I was determined. We had to go to Plan B the day that I left to fly out, and it all went really well while I was gone.
everybody did just fine.
They did. They survived.
Yeah.
So, there were just so many things about it that have been transformative. I mean, just while I was there, not being on call, not being connected, not waiting for, you know, the other shoe to drop or who needs me to do something. That felt so amazing. I got to just be with the trees and, you know, just be, which was wonderful. But the biggest thing that has been so transformative and so momentous was the really experiencing being conscious, compassionate awareness.
Uh-huh. Because now you're not going to give anything away about the retreat, are you?
No, I don't think
Okay,
so.
Good. Okay, good.
I've heard people talk about that for years on the calls. And I just felt like the ego voices have always told me I had to earn it. And I could just I just felt like I was good enough to earn it.
Yeah.
And
no matter how hard you tried, no matter what you did, no matter how many times you showed up when you really didn't want to or didn't feel like it or didn't have the strength to, no matter what, you were never going to be good enough to earn that.
Right. So now the fact that I see, you know, I see that the voices are just what's keeping me, these false, not real voices, keeping me from knowing that, it's just so transformative. And like, I think somebody on the year-long call the other day was just talking about wanting to hang on to that experience. And you talked about, you know, just kind of, I can't remember exactly what you said, but about remembering it. And it's not like thinking about it to hold on to it, but just, you know, it's just recollecting.
It's recalling it. Right, it's referencing. It's a funny distinction, isn't it? I mean, once you see it, you know it. But until then, the words don't really work. But you can recall that experience, and it's fresh and new in this moment.
Yes. And so I have just enjoyed recalling it. And now I understand what everybody's been talking about that I really felt like the ego voices were me for so long.
Yes. Yeah,
and
yeah.
So I'm just so excited because now they just don't have the same power over me because I'm not, they're not just there. You know, it's like I see them for what they are.
Yes.
And I'm
yes.
Great. It just has changed everything. When I get, I mean, I came back, of course, to just huge amount of caregiving. I've spent, you know, I think today I spent 4 hours at the hospital. And it's that all is still there, but I'm in a different place. And I did a process this morning that was really helpful. And because just the ego void, because I'm just not having to earn it. And it's just changed everything.
Yes. You know the difference.
Yes.
You've had an experience of what is actually so, and then what isn't so is so obvious. It's just so clear.
Yes.
Those voices, you've seen them for what they are. And they just don't have the same power over you. They can't.
Yeah.
It's like once you recognize, as soon as you know someone is lying to you, your willingness to believe them or to go along with them really diminishes.
Yeah? Yeah.
And that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
It's just not true. And so once you realize it's not true, you just can't believe it any longer. Which is a thank God moment.
It really is. So that's where I've been. I've just been in such deep gratitude. And still just feel, as I said, it's just been transformative.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And the good news is you were sticking close to practice before this. Right? And now you know even more certainly how important it is to stick close to practice because that's how we recall it, right? So maybe you're listening to a year-long call and you're hearing the people talk about their experience and it's taking you to that experience. You can now hear what people are going through. You can sense what they're listening to and believing that is a lie. You can hear when they see through that and when they have an intuitive breakthrough that takes them to it. These are all your experiences.
Yes. And I've been able to keep the commitments that I made to carry this, the things I want to do. I actually have not I have not read any news since I came home. And the voices used to tell me that I needed to read the news to try to find some hope. And so
now you know that you can just focus on what you choose, right? Yeah. And that's plenty. There's all the hope you need.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. My hope will come from within, and I'll know when I'm supposed to do something. I mean, I'm planning to continue to do things, but I just don't have to let the voices talk me into that. It's just it's like having such a reset of so many things by being there was just really wonderful.
Yeah. I know what you mean, and I am incredibly happy for you.
Well, thank you.
I wish, and I said this to somebody recently, that I wish we could just do these with everybody, do these retreats with everybody. Maybe I said it to you. Who knows? That we could just do them with everybody, because we know, you and I know, that given the opportunity, everyone would go to this same place.
Mm-hmm.
This same seeing what is so and seeing what isn't so. And it just changes everything. Then choosing unconditional love is just the most sensible thing a person could ever ever think of.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Nancy. Very, very happy for you.
Thank you. Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Nancy. And Sherry, I have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hey. So I have this really special content that I now recognize is a duality of sorts. And so that's particularly useful. And still, I find that it tends to grab me right when I wake up or thereabouts. And, you know, sort of before I'm ready, and that's when it starts. And then it kind of persists. If I'm not paying attention, it persists throughout the day. I should say if I'm not focused on something else. And then it always feels like there's something that has to be done, that this is urgent, I got to make a decision about this and do something. And then as soon as I think, okay, I have maybe some sort of pseudo insight, because I've been chewing on it all day, then I think, okay, I'm going to do this thing. And then I'm telling you, it's right away, then the other side seems more appealing. Okay, I should do that thing. And clearly it's not urgent because I haven't done anything.
But you haven't done anything all day. Yeah.
But I haven't done anything to solve this, to quote unquote solve it. And it's just ridiculous. But it doesn't seem to. And here's the other thing, what I've noticed, because I started a couple months ago, it was something else. And I tried to start doing a weekly recording about what really is the big problem right now. And it kind of changes, of course. But this has been persistent for a couple of weeks. But just recognizing that if it wasn't this, it'd be something else. But it's just amazing how it feels so big, and yet I don't solve it, and it doesn't really change anything.
Yes. Yes. And so when you lay it out like that in those steps, what does it seem to you that the issue is? I mean, so you wake up, I'm guessing since you said this is a couple of weeks, you wake up into the same content, right? The same,
yes.
The same issue. Okay.
Yeah.
And it gets hold of you, and you know that this is the big issue. This is the one.
Right.
And then you either focus on it a lot or not, depending on whether you get caught up in something else, but it stays there. And then at a certain point, You
you decide, okay, I'm going to, and as soon as, you don't take action, right? You don't have to take action. You just have to know that that's what you're going to do. And then suddenly it's, well, maybe actually the opposite would be the thing to, So when I don't know how long this has been going on, but do you know the Roadrunner cartoons?
Yes, of course.
And Wile E. Coyote? Can you see kind of a parallel?
Yes, that's a great image. I love it.
That's basically what's going on, right? Or in any of those cartoons where the person just keeps falling for the same scam over and over, and you just think, oh my God, how could they not get it? We all know how this is going to end. How could they not? And of course, I think those cartoons appeal to us because we do resonate with them. Whether it's conscious or not, we know that we are those characters. That is exactly how our life is going, right? And so now you know that. Do you sense it is more difficult for the process to catch you?
Well, like I said, it often catches me in the morning, but that's, like I said, a great image. That's a great redirect of the attention right there, because it's funny.
And so if you can anticipate, I mean, you have seen it, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to happen, and then that's going to happen, and then that happens, and then I'll decide that, and then the voice will come in and tell me it should be the opposite, and then the next morning, it's like Groundhog Day, right? And then the next morning, I'll wake up and I'll dance this same dance again. So recognizing that, and that would be my encouragement. Don't try to, because you know it doesn't matter, right?
Right.
You decide this, you decide that. It doesn't matter a fig. So now you're just watching that process, and you can watch it from such a different place. And I would encourage you to watch it out loud. You know, that when you wake up into it, say, okay, well, yeah, here it is again. All right, and then what I'm going to do is noodle this all day long until I get to the point where something occurs to me, and then I'll decide to do that, and then the voices will come in to tell me not to.
Yep.
Okay, let's go.
Okay, sounds great.
Yeah, and see if it
what
can
a great
maintain
idea.
Under those circumstances. And over the cliff we go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, that's helpful. Thank you.
Me. All right, thanks, Matt.
Thanks for joining us, Matt. And Matt, I cannot mute you, so if you could mute yourself or call back in, that would be fabulous.
Okay.
And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is April in North Dakota.
Well, hello, April in North Dakota.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I am actually so happy. I am actually doing very well.
Good.
I just had a really good time on the retreat, and I am keeping my promises to myself, and I'm trying to stay very close. One of the breakthroughs that I had on the retreat was seeing how ego likes to give me a to-do list. Mm. And I have to tell you, that to-do list has been believable my whole life, because they've always been good things. They've always been really good things that I should do. And for the first time ever, when I was meditating on retreat, I thought, you know what? I don't believe that. I don't think that's trying to help me. I think that's just trying to keep siphoning off energy to do just do endless amount of things. And for the first time I said, no, I'm not going to talk about that. And I don't have to do that. It's a, yes, it's a good thing. But for the first time ever, I didn't believe it.
Well, I love that. I don't think this is really for my benefit.
Yeah, I have to be honest with you. I knew it wasn't for my benefit before, but I couldn't not believe it because they were all such good things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not like it was telling me to go steal a car. It was telling me to do really good things. So it was very believable.
Yeah. That it had that very believable should element.
Yes.
This is what a good person should do or certainly should want to do.
And I said, you know, April is tired. She doesn't need to do that right now. I stood up for myself for the first time ever to that.
Yeah. Well, and there's the really telling part, right? That it's a very good thing. But even when the person is tired, the good thing to do is not to attend to the person who is tired, but to go do this good thing. And so what kind of a good thing is there that is more important than taking care of somebody when they're tired?
Right, because the still small voice doesn't overwhelm me. Doesn't give me a huge to-do list, and the still small voice will only give me one thing at a time, and they're very small, bite-sized things. They're not, hey, let's take this huge thing on at work.
Yeah.
They're just, hey, let's go get a glass of water.
Yes. Well, yes, they're a moment-size activity, right? It's they're a right now size rather than, well, why don't you remodel the office?
Yes.
Because then you'll be able to really,
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And this has been such a cause of suffering for me because, you know, like you said, ego uses your good heart, your good intentions against you. You know,
I
want to do all these good things, but
yes,
for the first time,
you do.
For the first time I said, no, she's tired. She does not need to even talk about that right now.
Yeah. Yes. And that's another excellent point. With whatever these things are, if they are yours, if they are yours to do, then there will be a time for them to be done. And when it is that time, you will have the energy to do them. That's how we can tell it's the time to do them.
Yeah, and And my little feisty personality came out and said, you know, because it was saying, well, what if you don't get all this done today? And my little feisty side just started saying, too bad. Too bad.
Well, and, you know, the good news about things on lists like that is they will be here tomorrow.
Yes.
Very few of them will just disappear on their own. And if they do disappear on their own, well, good. They must have gotten done then.
And one thing I learned on retreat is that we are here to have joy. We are not here just to do and to work. We are here to have joy and enjoy today.
Yes.
That gets to be calculated in.
Yes. And if we are doing what is to be done in the moment, it will be joyful.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how we can tell if this is the thing for us, it will be joyful. But so often people just feel like beasts of burden, always tired, never appreciated. And so we can see that why life is not fun. But when we are appreciated and attended to and cared for, you have enough sleep and enough good food and enough water and
enough rest, and then we happily do what life is calling upon us to do.
Yeah, it's just so exciting because I feel like I saw through another layer, and it's just, I'm just so excited today.
Yes, it's a good thing, isn't it? It's a fun
yes,
way to be.
Yes, it's wonderful. It's
yeah.
very fun.
Yeah, good.
So thank
good.
You.
So
thank
glad.
You for everyone's
thank
hard
you,
work.
April. Yeah, pleasure. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, April and Sherry. That was fabulous. Great conversation.
Yeah, it's a great retreat.
Yeah, it is. And Sherry, we are going to break for a good news update, and then we'll come back to talk with more callers.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. And Jen, your guest is now live, and I'll turn it over to you.
All right, thanks, Michael. And I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Laura, who is here to speak with us about her experience of letting life lead. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. So tell us about your experience of letting life lead.
Well, just as a little bit of context, I, from as long back as I can remember, I felt obligated to organize and be organized and control. And so practice has led me to a whole different way of relating to myself, to the world. And it's okay, so the foundation is from the one of the the inspiration from one of the, it's late where I am and my mind isn't working as sharply as it does other times of the day. However.
So we just take a breath and let life lead, right?
Yes, exactly. the word I was looking for was precepts. The inspiration from one of the precepts is, there is nothing in my life that is not part of my spiritual training. That has been such a comfort to me, especially, you know, in the last 6 months when I've been going through a lot of difficult transitions in my life. And so when I look at that everything that happens is for my good, for my spiritual training, and then there's like these little sayings that remind me. So let life lead is kind of the mother of them. And then, like the cousin or I'm not sure actually what their relationships are, but the other two are extremely helpful. And one of them is, I don't know. And the other one is, always say yes. So it's like, I really don't know. I really don't know anything. And to acknowledge that and then invite life in to be the guide, to lead, to show the way, and be open and willing. And that's the yes part.
Exactly. Yeah. God, what an amazing trio right there. Yeah. Because, you know, what you started off with is that control that we get talked into, right? I've got to have control. And so really getting it that everything is for my awakening potentially invites us into, of course we're going to let life lead, right? Because what would I be controlling? Everything, and another way you phrased it, everything that happens is for me, is for my spiritual training. And so I would project, at least for me, that the I don't know comes in when ego starts to try to get me in a conversation about, well, this really? I mean, but it doesn't seem like, and then that place of, I don't know, I don't have the big picture in a sense, invites us back into that place of saying yes, to what's here now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's such a beautiful reflection. Thank you. And it is so true. I often get this image of there's this huge window, and I only see such a tiny bit of that window, and I think that's the whole window.
Yes.
If I'm living in conditioning. So,
yes.
So, wow, practice just brings such gifts.
Mm. And, you know, Laura, it strikes me, you said, especially in these last, 6 months, I think you said, when there's been so much transition, and what a testament to one's practice that that's a period of time where these things deepen for you, where you actually turn to saying yes, turn to letting life lead, right? I mean, what an amazing thing, instead of having it sort of be a, oh gosh, you know, got to really get control and things aren't going, and but to really lean into those processes that are there for, you know, as you say, really increasing our movement towards freedom, increasing our awareness of all that is.
Right. It's really, I mean, we all go through difficult times, but in my experience just recently, it's like I cannot, even if I wanted to go la, 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 la with conditioning, I couldn't, right? Yeah. Because I knew where that would lead, and it was impossible to be complacent. You know, when life is going along smoothly, la, you know, whatever, same old, or so we are told, it's much easier to become complacent and to believe the story that, oh yeah, I've got this, or I don't need to do this or that or the other thing because, you know, I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. Right? And so it's when these challenges enter my life that, you know, I'm really just called to show up. And these are some of the tools that help me show up. And I am so grateful to have the ability to do that.
Yeah. And well, that
make
really,
that choice.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And that really underscores what you were saying, that it's all a gift for me. Because, gosh, all these hard things happening, well, yeah, because the way you're laying it out, if what I really want is to wake up and see through the illusion of separation, then it does take what it takes to wake us up. And you said something else, Laura, that was so crucial there, that you couldn't go down that, I forgot how you phrase it exactly, but, you know, basically kind of la, 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 as these terrible things are happening, because you know where that leads. And that's so big. And I think especially reassuring, first of all, if we're new to practice and or if we're in a really hard time in practice where it can feel like, oh, all that's happening is I'm getting a really good look at how suffering works, you know. But that's so important, because then when you hit a place like you're describing, you really do know in the deepest place, no, I can't go in that direction because I know where that leads. I've been down those roads and I have worn that out. And so we do truly get, you know, having gone through it so many times and had that experience over and over, we truly do get to a place of, I'm not going down that road anymore, no matter what.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't have that self-hate that I used to have. I mean, it still sneaks in, right? But and the self-hate would say, oh, well, you deserve to be miserable. You deserve to suffer. You know, this is, you brought this on yourself. Whatever it is that would hook me in. And increasingly, I'm able to see that and say, no, thank you. Not inviting you in to talk it over a cup of tea. Yeah. Like,
sure.
Yeah. Not listening.
That really reminds me of the first conversation tonight on Open Air, just that place of, that voice has nothing to do with me.
Yes.
That is not me. I don't care how familiar it is, how much it wants to come at me. You know, I was just looking at that in my own practice, Laura, that place where that voice knows us so well, and it knows just the thing and the tone of voice and the, you know, lock and key. It knows what to say to us. But again, we get to a certain place. You're describing it. I think the first caller was describing it of, no, I know that place, but that is not me, and I am not having that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's such freedom and gratitude and
yeah.
happiness.
Yeah. Yeah, oh. Truly. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as people say often when we talk about things like letting life lead, life has so much more in store for us than we can ever imagine from that place of trying to control things and get what I want and, you know, no way. Yeah. You know, that is such a small place, and life wants so much more for us.
Mm-hmm. That's my experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and thank you for being with us this afternoon to talk about it.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Laura. Go happy.
Go happy.
And Michael, we will turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Laura, and thank you, Jen. And welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And I heard a lot of wisdom in that, Sherry.
Well, I did too, Michael. And a lot of inspiration for staying with practice. You know, what people were describing is, you know, being in those hard places long enough to know them really intimately, and then getting to that place of, yeah, I'm not going with that any longer. I don't want that to be my life story. I know how that goes. I don't want to. And even though it can be very challenging to realize the way out of this, the way through this, is by letting life lead and trusting, as Laura was saying, that everything that happens is for me. It's a gift for me. And if I'm looking at it that way, I'm going to see the gift and I'm going to benefit hugely. If nothing else, I'm going to know how loved I am.
Yeah, yeah. And that anything that's here is for my spiritual training.
Yes, and because I am loved, you know, in the same way we are with our children.
Yeah.
We want to take care of them, and very often it's things that they don't want to do. They don't understand it. They don't see the benefit of it, you know. But we do. We can see it. We can see that it's important to understand this, to know this, to have this experience, whatever it is, not to make those choices that don't work for us. And we're being guided by life in exactly that way. We hope, at least, that we are attempting to guide our children. We are the children being guided.
Yes. Yes. Fabulous. And we have more callers here, Sherry.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael. It's Tracy in Colorado.
Hey, Tracy.
Hi. I'm so happy to be unmuted and just in line with the conversation, and you know, I'm just talking about we're not going with that story, and you know, everything is for us. I had a practice success along that line that I'd love to share just real briefly, mm-hmm. and I'm wanting guidance on a like spiritual approach to a kind of a mystery medical condition. And I know we're not supposed to talk about two things.
Well, let's see if we can run them together in a way that they'll appear to be one. How about that?
That sounds fabulous. So being that you're familiar with my karma, I helped my mom last weekend. And I'll just be real briefly with the content. So as you know, I used to not go anywhere without food, and I don't do that anymore. And so I'm in the airport. I'm walking kind of through the airport, and it dropped
into the not looking for food. Hopefully, you weren't walking through the airport. Oh, good.
Well, but it's so interesting, Sherry. What right before I went to baggage, it dropped in of like, oh, pick up an energy bar. So I'm like, okay, I'll pick up an energy bar. You know, didn't go into dialogue. So I go to my mom's and she doesn't cook, and we ordered food out, and I ordered mine online, and she chose hers when she got there. And anyway, she brought the meals back, and she had ordered like steak and cheese and sour cream, things I don't eat, and mine was like rice and vegetables. With a sauce. And anyway, I went for a little walk, and she got back, and she started to eat. And when I got there, I noticed the lid of what she was eating had really big letters of my name on it, and she had eaten my meal without realizing it wasn't the one that had steak and cheese and sour cream. And,
and so,
you know, just brought all this, you know, conditioning around, you know, she's not paying attention, she doesn't, you know, and then she's like, oh, just eat mine. I'm like, Mom, I don't eat meat. I haven't eaten meat my whole life. So, and then she offered me an apple. So I had an apple and I had this energy bar. And what I just guess the spiritual progress was, I could feel like just in my body, like the story wanting to come, you know, to start up around, you know, not paying attention. And I just didn't go there. I just was happy to have the apple, and I stayed in grace. And the next day, like we were doing the silences last week, when they would start in, I'd be like, no, we're not going there. And it was hard to choose happiness that day. It took to the next day. But it just felt big that I just didn't go down that rabbit hole of just the what's wrong story.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And, okay, good. Yes. Yes. So watching it come up and realizing I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that. Yeah, I don't choose to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now, the thing, though, that I'm curious about, if I may, is there any element of what that is like for the person who has that experience?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, the next day, I kept touching in, and there was sadness. Like, I felt really sad, like really mm-hmm. sad that I was like raised by a parent that never really paid attention, didn't pay attention. She pays attention to some more other content, but when it came to, you know, like food, you know, nourishment and
her children,
you know, yeah, her children, like the subtler aspects, like, you know,
yeah.
Interest in what I'm doing and interested in what I'm interested in and interested in what I'm eating and interested in, you know, what's important to me. And it's just not there. So there was definitely sadness and mm-hmm.
That's important. I mean, it's great that we redirect our attention from what the ego voices, what karmic conditioning is trying to do to us, because that doesn't speak to what's going on with the person, right? That doesn't speak to it. There's repressing whatever is going on, or there's indulging an ego conversation about it, neither of which speaks to the person who's having the experience. And I think that that's something that's just important to underline. I suspect you know this very clearly, but otherwise it can sound like what we're saying in practice is, well, whatever happens to you, you just kind of flatline it and go on and, you know, forget about it as quickly as possible. And that's definitely not what we're saying, right?
Yeah, and I think I definitely have gotten very good at flatlining it, and which kind of leads to my medical thing, because there is a place I was noticing.
Isn't that good how we did that?
perfect. Because I was, when I was there, I was noticing, you had said the word accommodating to me at some point, and I was like, huh, I'm going to have to watch for accommodating. But I'm much more oriented around flatlining what's going on for me and accommodating what's going on for another person.
Mm-hmm.
And medically, I have a blood disorder, and my blood platelet counts really high. It's just been going up for the last 3 years. And I have had some accidents in the last couple of years. And tons of tests have been run, and nothing is coming up to show what it is. And so I'm just I'm more curious as to, you know, just like spiritually, like what's signaling my body that it needs to make more of something that it doesn't, it's like needs to make more of something that clots, that doesn't, it's not necessary. And so just with that place of, I mean, and then I just, you know, start, you know, anyway, that's where I could tell you where I go with it, but I'm just curious as to like what, yeah, spiritually is going on, that sickling, how to work with it spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, sadly, Tracy, I don't have a clue.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I can speak to the how to be with the person who is going through it. But how to be with the physical condition, no. That's
okay.
Really, we were in a conversation today at the farm, and somebody mentioned medical intuitive.
Right.
That I do know that those people exist. And
right.
I don't know if that's, if that would be, you know, that's a very tricky place to go to, because, you know, how do you know? But then you don't know now. And all you have going for you now is your ability to pay attention the best that you can, and, you know, not to pay attention to everything, believe nothing, and don't take anything personally. So armed with that, you know, I think we can probably go off in pursuit of anything that we want to pursue, and have it be, as Laura was encouraging us earlier, recognize that it's all for our benefit, all for our enlightenment.
Right. Yeah. Okay. I guess just see what drops in.
Yes.
Funny. I don't feel worried. Like, I don't feel bad. And if I didn't know it was happening, I like wouldn't know anything.
You wouldn't know it was happening.
No.
Isn't that a funny place to be? Yeah.
It is, and they keep wanting to do more tests, and I'm like, oh, I don't want to do any more tests, nor do I want to take medication. But so, yeah, I
especially
still
if we don't know what's going on with me,
right?
To medicate
exactly.
me for a condition that we're not sure what it is.
We're
not sure
what it is. Yeah. So okay. Well, that's great. Well, I'm going to keep paying attention and to the place that wants to accommodate and flatline what's going on for me, and really just stay in close contact with it.
Yeah, yes. Because the thing that you realize very clearly is being in the hands of people who don't pay attention is not pleasant, doesn't feel good, and ultimately is probably not safe. And so you don't want to be one of those people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep, good point. Yeah, and paying attention to me is part of it.
That's right. That's exactly right. Don't internalize your mother's teachings with you.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Don't mother you as you were mothered.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tracy.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Tracy. And Sherry, we have time for at least one more caller here.
Good. All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
This is Barbara from Chicago.
Hey, Barbara.
Thanks, Sherry. Oh, I was just hovering over the remove your question from the queue button.
Now, you're a little in and out for me, Barbara. Is she for you, Michael?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe.
I don't know.
If you're on a...
I can pick up your notes.
Yes, yes. I think that that is always a giant step forward.
Okay. You hear me now?
No. Say a little more.
I'm here in Chicago.
I heard that you're here in Chicago. So let's do our best.
Okay. Well, I'm struggling a little bit today, and for the past several days with what's happening in my city.
The whole country is struggling with what's happening in your city, one way or another.
Yeah, and I think and I'm in this like kind of both frantic and despairing place, and you know, per the earlier conversations, I know these are voices, I know this isn't helpful, and I guess calling in is like my attempt to, you know, reach out, or I have this also, these voices like, I got to do something, I got to participate, I got to stand up, I got to, you know, and then there's also this like, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. And so it's just like, I just feel kind of exhausted and I'm not doing anything. You know, so the voices are effectively keeping me from doing anything.
While telling you that you should be doing something.
Yeah, and I should be doing something, I should have been doing something, and I didn't care enough until it came to Chicago, where was all that caring when this was going on somewhere else? You know, it's like everything is just being thrown at me, and it's sticking.
And why do you, I know we're not supposed to ask why questions, but why do you think it's sticking?
I guess I do want to do something. My heart is breaking, you know, and I'm watching these, I mean, I guess, I don't know if there's more video here or, you know, just people, kids being snatched out of cars and people out of their workplaces, and the person selling tamale on the street has just been like swept up, and you know, it's just hard to be with this, and I know there are things I can do, and I'm not doing them. And I don't know.
Like what could you do?
Well, people are, you know, walking kids home from school and, patrolling the streets with whistles and like letting people know that ICE is there. And I mean, I don't know. I could.
And when you think about doing something like that, what happens?
I feel kind of, I don't know. Like, I feel scared.
Scared, yeah. Yeah.
And then that, but then there's, you know, being, I can feel that voice is coming in for that. Like, I'm not the one being targeted. Why should, you know, I need to be standing up. I mean,
Yeah. Yeah, and those are the same voices that will then make you afraid if you try to stand up.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We really need, you're really clear on that part, right?
I'm clear that this, you know, that it's like every, and then it just, you know, this whole thing gets like, I was visualizing like a tumbleweed just picking up all sorts of other content, you know. It's like,
yes.
You know,
oh, well, yeah.
My sister and my job and my, you know, it's like every, you know, it just like keeps building up. And I know, and I can see this happening, and I know this is happening. And but I do feel kind of immobilized and sad and scared. And
yeah. Which I mean, can't you understand it?
I feel like I should be able to do something. Like I
Okay. Yes. Okay. Well, let's go with that. But first of all, can you understand how someone would be afraid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I guess partly I don't know what to do if I'm walking a child home from school, and I guess I just don't know what to do. Maybe I would feel better if I knew what to do, you know, knew how
there
to protect.
There you go. Yes. And, you know, there are lots and lots of things, okay? One of the things I know that people do is take food to people who are afraid to come out.
Yeah.
Okay? And so, you know, with a little looking around, I bet you could find things that you could participate with that would, I mean, it's still scary, right? Let's just acknowledge that.
Yeah.
And not to try to deny that, but things that you could participate in that didn't put you so much in the crosshairs.
Yeah.
And yet you could be standing up. You could be doing your part, which is what you want to do.
Really do want to do something. I don't think I feel okay until I do something.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, there are lots and lots of people doing lots and lots of things, and they're very eager for help. Right.
Yeah.
So even things, I bet there are places where answering the phone or, you know, supporting an office staff or making sandwiches, or there are going to be lots and lots of ways to participate, which has always been the case, right? There are just so many ways that we can help, and we're very much more aware of it now. But there are just so many ways that we can assist and support and participate, and so you can do that.
Yeah, thank you for that. I mean, I feel like, as you're saying that, and as I do know about these things, and I think that it's just the being held back that, you know, that's part of this whole ego thing. It's just like, why?
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. That's exactly where it wants you home on the couch, where it can tell you that you should be doing something, and then tell you that you can't possibly do it because it's crazy and too scary. Exactly. And the thing, Barbara, that I think it's so good for us to remember is that's always been the case.
Yeah.
That's exactly where ego has always wanted us. It's just now things are even bigger and scarier than they've ever been before.
Yeah. Yes, yes. And I can see this process, you know, in many places of, you know, like not being immobilized. Like you've got to do something.
Yes.
Do this. You can't do that.
But you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to, but you can't. You have to, but you can't.
Yeah.
It's the caller, you know, waking up in the morning with the big issue, and you need to resolve this. Well, no, that you can't do that. But you need to. But you can't. No, that's not going to. Yes.
Yeah.
That's where ego wants us, because you can feel the amount of life force that it can suck out of a person in that situation is impressive.
Yeah. I definitely have felt that kind of that. It's despair. It's just like, I just want to go to bed, and you know, but right now I feel a lot of energy. Like I just need to make some phone calls. Like it's not so hard. Like,
that's right. And that's exactly what I was going to say. Call somebody, right? Get a friendly voice on the phone. And when you say, I just want to help, is there a way I can help? They'll have an idea for you.
Yeah. And I actually went a long time ago before, you know, before it's escalated to this point, I thought I would like, I'm sure there are people that are afraid to leave their houses, and how are they eating? And so
yeah,
I do, you know, I thought of that and I never did that. So now, you know, I just, it's just got to, I just have to take that step in, and, you know, this is, yeah.
And Barbara, please stay in touch with us about it.
Yeah.
Okay, because the voices are going to come in again. They're going to try to kill you. They're going to try to talk you out of doing everything, anything, not everything. Don't try to do everything. And then they're just going to attempt to crucify you over it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I know
you know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. What I'm telling you, though, is don't let them talk you out of staying in touch.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad I didn't. I mean, it took me half the call to put myself in the queue, and then I was just like, you know, trying to pull myself out of the queue, and I'm glad I didn't do it. So
yeah,
this has
I'm
been
glad you were unsuccessful. Yeah.
Glad I was unsuccessful there.
Yeah. The heart was successful though.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, just in staying in. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you. Take good care of yourself now.
Thank you. Gosho.
Okay. Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Barbara. And another great conversation tonight, Sherry.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Humans. Like, humans are brave critters.
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
We are.
Yeah.
And,
well, thank you, Michael.
Yes, thank you, and thank you to everyone who joined us tonight, and
mm-hmm.
Go happy.
Go happy.